Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I want to just share with you tonight, and I keep getting a picture of someone that, I don't know if this might speak to more than one of you, but there's someone who has been, like you're walking along or standing, and somebody comes up behind and hits you in the back of the knee and causes you to suddenly fall. It's a kind of a surprise or shock. So that's always like a place of, like you've been hit from behind, been taken by surprise, and the enemy wants to cut you off at the knees, you know, wants to cause you to stumble or fall or give up or that kind of thing. If that's you, the Lord says that I have you, I'm catching you, and I'm not going to let you fall, that I have victory. And so I feel the Lord's heart right there. And he doesn't want you to give up or lose heart or even look at the enemy. He wants you to keep your eyes focused on him. And I also, during worship, saw God's hand, Jesus' hand reaching down. And he wants to grab us, grab our hand, and pull us up higher. He wants us to look up higher, to see from a higher perspective, and stop being here or here. We need to look up in the kingdom. We need to, from a kingdom perspective, looking down, because we're victorious, right? We stand in victory with Jesus, and that's a reality. That is our present reality, not the enemy coming from behind and giving us a surprise attack, or even through another person or whatever that is. That's meant for your downfall, but Jesus has a way of turning that around and causing you to stand in it in greater strength. In greater strength, if you persevere with him through that and trust him in it, he's going to cause you to have greater strength. So I hope that touches, encourages someone there. That's not the Lord's heart for you. But we get sidetracked when we get that kind of thing happen to us. We tend to look, our eyes get diverted momentarily, and the Lord's like, if you just reach for my hand, I've got you, and I want to pull you up higher. I'd like to talk to you about in Romans tonight, Romans chapter 6, 6 through 14. How many of you, let's just take a little vote here, or poll. I should say a poll. How many of you have ever gotten really, really angry at yourself for sin that you've committed? Yeah, pretty much everybody, huh? Well, we've got it backwards. Just letting you know, you're not supposed to get angry at yourself for sin. You're supposed to get angry at the sin. So the Bible says that God hates sin. If we walk in the fear of the Lord, we will hate sin. If we hate sin, then we're going to be less likely to sin, right? We're not going to give into it so easily because we hate it. It's like, it's going to be like rotten flesh to you. I mean, seriously, I experienced that. It's like rot. It's like, not that I don't ever sin, don't. But those things, when I catch myself looking at it in a way that it could seem alluring or tempting, I look at the temptation, and the temptation itself is like rot flesh. That's the way it should appear to us. We shouldn't. So we're not to get angry at ourselves for sinning. The Bible says we're to love ourselves and to forgive ourselves and not hold unforgiveness. We're to repent. when we do, when we fall, we need to repent and be truly humbled and sorry, you know, sorry to the Lord. But then we need to get up, like David got up and went on with his life then and didn't do that one again. But we get it wrong. We get it backwards. We hate ourselves for sinning, and then we hold all this. We start this downward spiral of self-condemnation, self-hatred, self, I'm not good enough, I'll never be good enough, I'm a failure, and it gets to be a pretty slippery slope that's hard to climb out of, because then we're holding a lot of unforgiveness, self-condemnation, and it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. That self-hatred is misdirected. The Bible says not to let your anger go down. That's even at your anger go down with the sun. I mean, before the sun sets, get rid of it. That's even for yourself. It's not, that's a religious spirit, honestly. The religious spirit wants you to hold anger against yourself, wants to punish. If I punish myself, if I'm angry at myself, I'll be a better person. I won't do it again. So this is the way I talk to me. I get real blunt with myself, and I get real, like real, okay, so Londa, if you're using anger, self-anger, if you're holding unforgiveness against yourself, you're actually agreeing with the demonic in order to make yourself a better person for Jesus. Does that make sense? It doesn't to me, but that's what I would do. I mean, that's what our flesh wants to do. We actually agree with the demonic and sin. We agree with sin in order to use the benefit to make us a better person or to keep us from doing it again. And we think that self-hatred and self-condemnation is going to do the trick, when actually what that does is make you do it again, because you might as well give up and give into it, because you're already a failure. So what's the point? That's the way our minds go. We need to be aware of our subconscious thinking, our conscious thinking. We need to be aware of what our minds are thinking. We are a continual running thought from one thought to another, to another, to another, to another, right? So we get lost in our thoughts and we're not aware of what we're thinking. But we need to hold on, you know, slow down a little bit and think about what we're thinking about. We need to get a hold of those negative thoughts and rein them in and get mad at what we're supposed to get mad at. The Bible tells us to get angry at sin. So we're going to get into Romans. Romans verse 5. I said 6, but Romans verse 5, we're going to start there. For if we have become one with him, you are one with God through Jesus Christ, permanently united. Just think about that a minute. Like, pretend this is chocolate in your mouth. And you're just like letting it melt real slow and taking the, like getting all the flavor out of it that you can get. That's how you should approach the scriptures. You get, it's like sweet. It's life. You can feel the life in it when you take your time and just treasure it. So what we want to do with the scriptures is we don't want to pull out more information. I mean, that's good. It's good to pull out information, but we want to pull out revelation. The way you pull out revelation is to saturate yourself. And you can't saturate yourself. If you water a plant and you just dump it all in there at once and it's got a hole at the bottom, it's just going to go straight through. But if you slowly water the plant, sprinkle it, and let it saturate, then that water does what it's meant to do. The same is true for the scripture. For if we've become one with him, permanently united. You're permanently united with God. If you've got Jesus Christ in you, if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you are permanently united as one. That means you're in complete unity with God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. How amazing. Like, I could just sit right there. In the likeness of his death, We will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection. Woohoo! I mean, that, how exciting is that? Like, we are, everything that God the Father has given Jesus, Jesus has given us. And so we're going to be like him, not only in his death, because we die to the flesh. He's done it for us. We just have to agree with it. And we're going to be raised with him in his glory, in like his likeness. Yes. How amazing. Yes. Number six, we know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We once were slaves. Humankind was once a slave to sin. But we are no longer. You have power over sin. There is not a temptation that can come to you that you cannot say no to. That's your way out. Is simply to say no. Because Jesus, it does not have power over you. It's your thoughts that cause you to think it has power over you. So be careful what you think. If you're not hating that sin, then that sin has master over you. So you hate yourself for doing the sin, and that's a cycle. But we need to redirect that and hate the sin and love ourselves. If we love ourselves, we're not going to go there because that is rotten. And you're not going to clothe yourself with rotten flesh again easily. It's stinky. It doesn't even look good. You know, you can get real visual with that. But you should. You know, honestly, go there because that in the spirit, that's what it looks like. It's rot, it's smelly, it's stinky. That's not who you are. It was nailed to the cross. Jesus took that. So you don't have to. You're no longer a slave. That means you're free. Just like that song. How many of you feel free? Free to be. You know, you are free to be. You are free from sin. But your mind wants to tell you otherwise. But it's already done. The Bible says it, and the Bible's true. So we just need to agree with what the Word says. There is no contest here. There's no argument. You either believe the Word of God as truth, or we don't. And we don't pick and choose. You know? It says that we're free. It says we're not a slave. That has been put on the cross, and it has. Amen. We need to embrace that. Verse 7, for the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live together with him. Can you imagine? Oh, I cannot wait for that day. But you know what? You live with him now. Holy Spirit lives within you. You can go be with Jesus any moment of any day. He is with you now. This is a now word. This is not for sometime in a millennial reign or sometime when we, you know, heaven comes to earth, or, you know, or after you die. This is a now word. You can have relationship with Jesus as a friend on a day-to-day basis, and you can sense his presence. You can go to the garden with it. You can do whatever. But that is a reality we need to learn to walk in. When that becomes a greater reality to us, or a reality that is so powerful, that sin stuff looks less and less fun. It's less and less tempting because we know the reality of that is death. And death looks quite different than life. So we need to look at sin for what it is. It's death. It's rotting. It's ugly, smelly. But life is beautiful. It's fresh. smells good. It gives off color. The kingdom is full of color and light that's living. If you just look, you can see the light. I mean, there's light filtering down right now all through this place. And it's living, and it's touching each one of you, just gracing you. It's like God, His glory, loves to be around His people. Papa, I ask you to give them eyes to see. Open their eyes to see, to believe for the more that they can see. Help them to hear the sound of your voice, to feel the touch of your embrace. Every person here, He wants you to. Verse 9, because we know the self-evident truth that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has the power over Him, and you're one with Him. So death has no power over you. This is death to hell. This is death to your spirit. Has no power over you. I mean, that's that. We should go all out and celebrate. Go get pizza or something. I mean, that's worth celebrating. Y'all for that one? That's worth, you know, we need to celebrate. We need to remember what God's done for us. We need to know the power of it. It's everything. It's everything how you think about it. When you read scriptures like this, embrace the life in it. It's life-giving. When you read the scriptures like this, take the time to soak in it, to meditate on it, to Holy Spirit, what do you want me to, what are you saying here for me personally? Take it personal. The more personal you get with God, the more you're going to walk in that place of intimacy. Yes. 10. For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt. It has no power over you. It is impossible for sin to have power over you. The enemy has no power over you unless you agree with him. What we agree with, we empower. We empower. You're the one that says who has the power over your life. I'm not saying that in a you guys need to understand that you're free. You're free from sin. And so be careful what you say yes to, because all you have to do to the enemy is say, go, in Jesus' name. It's that simple. And he knows whether or not you mean it. He can tell. He sees the agreement that you have. And if you have agreement with him, he's going to stay put. And then we get all upset because, oh my goodness, I can't get rid of this. This keeps nagging me. I can't stop a certain thing or thinking a certain thing or going to pornography or whatever it is. I can't stop it. It's got a grip on me. Well, it only has a grip, honestly, because you said yes to it. And I'm not judging you. I'm there with you. We need to think the way God thinks, because we're made in his likeness. So when we think that we're free from sin, when we think and believe that sin has no master over us, the enemy has no authority over us, we've got authority over him. When we think that sin is ugly and we hate it, that's the fear of the Lord, by the way. The fear of the Lord is hating what God hates. God hates sin. It demands obedience. And when you love, when you're in that place with God, you're gonna trust Him and you want to be obedient because you know in the obedience there's safety there. He doesn't ask you to do things just because He's got a big ego. He asks you to do things because you're safe there, and it's gonna grow you. It's for your good. It's for your good. I'm going to read 10 again. For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt once and for all. Do you know? You know, I know this. I've always, in general, known this. But do you know the scripture in Isaiah 53 where it says he didn't open his mouth? He didn't open his mouth on the cross. He died without saying a word. It mentions that. Do y'all know why? Maybe I'm the only one that didn't know fully why. You guys all might have got it. I didn't. It just hit me last week that if he would have opened his mouth and defended himself, it would have ended right there. Because he was innocent, and Satan knew it. If he would have justified himself, he could not have justified us. Isn't that amazing? Yes. He died knowing his innocence and deliberately keeping his mouth shut and not defending himself so that he could justify us. That blows me away. That is love that is so profound that he gave up everything, even his innocence, for me and for you. Sin has no master over us. Jesus took care of every single detail and nailed it to the cross and got victory so that you and I can stand in victory and stop complaining and thinking that we're powerless to stop it. We need to stand up and fight. We need to learn how to say no to the enemy. We need to grow up. You know, we need to grow up. And I had a woman the other day I was working with, bless her hearts, in another state, so nobody knows her. And I love her, so don't get me wrong here. She's sweet, precious heart. But all of her life, even now, she's in total rejection by those closest to her. And it's verbal. And it's ongoing. And she was just sitting there like a little broken hummingbird. They're so fragile. Just broken, just weeping and weeping and weeping. And I just wanted to grab her and stand her up in the spirit and say, look at what Jesus, that is not who you are. That's not who you are. If you find yourself in that broken place and just feeling condemned or with me, it was not good enough, hopeless, nothing to say. You guys know how insecure I've been about teaching. And everything else in my life, I don't think I'm an exception. I think a lot of you have that stuff going on. We need to stand up and stop looking at the mess and embrace the truth. Amen. And say no to the mess. No, that is not who I am. I'm leaving my old self behind, and I'm embracing the truth of who God says I am. Yes. And the truth of who says you are, you can stand tall. Not in pride, but in confidence. And you can walk in freedom. You're not bound in chains anymore unless you put them on. God, take those chains off. They serve no good purpose. I'm going to get for through verse 10 here. Maybe. Ending the sinner's debt once and for all. The life he lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with him. We need to live in unbroken fellowship with God because we too are one with him. Unbroken fellowship. Sin breaks the fellowship. We don't want to go there. But fortunately, a little repentance goes a long way with God. A humble heart. He's quick to forgive. Quick to forgive if you mean it. So we don't have to hold on to the condemnation and unforgiveness. Because he's forgiven us, so what's the point? It just causes us to do it again, actually. That's what it does. It draws you to it again. Verse 11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Hadn't I been saying that? It's right here. Consider yourself dead. It's how you think. Consider it. Consider your, look at yourself that way. When you look in the mirror, you're dead to sin. He's saying, it says right here, consider yourself dead to sin. Because that is the truth of who you are. You're not a sinner. You were. But now, you're the righteousness of God. Amen. Agree with that. Stand in that. That's who you are. And your fellowship, so when you consider yourself dead to sin, when I consider myself dead to sin and I live like that, then I'm in unbroken fellowship. My relationship is unbroken. But alive, and I consider myself alive in Christ Jesus. In unbroken fellowship with him. Alive to God. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts and passions. Do not go offering your members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act. We have to be aggressive, or we have to be participants. Too often, I hear people say, "Oh, you know, God is so good because," and he is, "but God's so good because he who started a good work in me is going to finish it. And so I'm going to get there." Well, one way or the other, you might get there, but you can speed that process up. And God will not go against your will. So you can live in rebellion the rest of your life and get your hiney in the gate when you die, you know. But I want to be up by the throne. I'm greedy. So, you know, I admit it. It's not that I want the recognition. It's that I want to be that close to him. I want to be that close to him. Only God can satisfy the ache in your heart. The loneliness, the emptiness, only he can satisfy. There's not alcohol or drugs or porn or buying clothes or eating. Is there, there's nothing else. Nothing. And so I pursue him here with intentional pursuit. And I'm wrapping my brain more and more around the truth of who he says I am. You guys can do that. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm not superwoman or holy spiritual person. I'm just a little old lady that loves God. And if you don't love him with a passion, ask him to put that in your heart. Ask him to put it in your heart. Beg him for it. I cry out to God, make me a desperate woman. Because my flesh will keep me from going there. So I want to get past the flesh and into the kingdom. So I speak with kingdom perspective. Holy Spirit, help me get past the flesh and cause me to love God the way Jesus loves him. It will cost you everything. It will cost you everything, but it's worth every bit. More than worth every bit. Everything that I've given up, every flesh thing that I've given to God and crucified, I've been given beyond measure a peace and a love and a joy that rests within me that the enemy can't have. Where are we at? Do not let sin, do not obey its lusts and passions. Do not go offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. You know why? Because you're an instrument, it might say that. It does. You're an instrument of righteousness. I saw a vision one time, and there were several friends in the vision, and we found ourselves in a roundabout way, but we found ourselves in an orchestra pit. We were little kids, and we found ourselves in an orchestra pit, and it was a strange place to find yourself, and I'm not even sure how we got there, but we were, all of a sudden, the stage started to rise, and the lights came on, and we were, like, standing on the stage and looking, we were looking around, and everybody was, now, had turned into an instrument, and we realized that we were standing in the throne room before the Father and the Son. I was a flute, and every instrument was beautifully handcrafted, like beautifully handcrafted. We had kettle drums, we had violin, we had saxophones, just beautiful instruments, and all of them were handcrafted of the highest quality and pure gold. I was a crystal flute that had gold inlay. I don't know how that happened, and it was amazing. We were all now instruments, and I realized that we were before the Father and the Son, and so Jesus would pick one of us up, and he would get this proud, like, big smile on his face, and he would hand us to the Father. And Papa would take us, and he would look us over and get this big smile at the Son and go, "Ooh, good job, Son. Good job. Look at the beauty you've created in that person." That's how he sees you. You're an instrument of righteousness, not wickedness. Your identity is with Christ. He sees you. You're all handcrafted personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing. And Papa loves gazing upon your beauty. He loves it. And so when we were all done, when he had examined each one of us carefully with great admiration for what Jesus had done, and Jesus was just like a proud father sitting there, they were both so excited. And so we sat down, or they sat us down, and we started playing. And the harmony was heavenly. The unity and the sound was pleasing to Father's ears because it came through the Holy Spirit. He was our wind. That's how you need to see yourself. Get eyes for the truth. Embrace, get your brain to receive and believe the truth, not the lies. Yes. All that negative garbage has to go. Let's see. Do not go on offering members of your body to sins as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act, as those who alive, raised from the dead to a new life. You are raised to a new life. We need to walk in that. And your members, all of your abilities, sanctified and set apart. Everything that you are is sanctified and clean. It's washed in the blood of Jesus. As instruments of righteousness yielded to God. For sin will no longer be a master over you, since you are not under the law as slaves, but under unmerited grace as recipients of God's favor and mercy. We need to remember where we came from in order to know who we are. You were birthed out of the mouth of the breath of God. Your little spirit was breathed life out of Papa's mouth. That's where you came from. You need to know that so that you know who you are, not who the enemy or other people tell you who you are. Is Michael here? Or whoever's going to do worship, you can come on up now. I just feel like God, I kept hearing the word freedom, just freedom. I feel like God wants to set bodies free. He wants to set our minds free. He wants to free us from those chains that bind. So we're going to just have a healing service. We're going to step right into a healing service, and we're going to believe, because it's true, that that's God's heart for you. How many of you are struggling with something? Yeah, a lot of us. A lot of us are struggling with something. How many of you believe you can be free? I see two. I like the two hands that go up. That's great. That's the way you should be looking at this. So, everybody, let's take the physical illnesses first. Everybody that has a physical illness that you'd like prayer for, I'd like you to stand up. Stand up where you are. Can be anything physical. A lot of us have some things. Okay. Don't be shy about this. Because if you want healed, you need to be bold. You need to be bold and not think, oh, I've been prayed for a gazillion times. You've not been prayed for more than I have. And I still ask for prayer. And I still need prayer. So it doesn't matter. The next prayer may be the one, right? So believe for the more. So Father, I just lift up this time for you, God, and I thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy, and that your healing power is here tonight. God, your word says that we're to set the captives free. I take authority right now over every spirit of doubt and unbelief in the room. I break that spirit in Jesus' name. I command it to go. Lord, I just release a freedom to believe, a freedom to be, a freedom to embrace the truth of who you are, because you're amazing, God. You're amazing, God. You are a Jehovah Rapha, and you have come to set us free. Jesus, you've already done it, and so we claim that right now in Jesus' name. Everybody who is not standing, that want to, I want you to find somebody and lay your hands on them. But what I'd like you to do is ask them what they need prayer for. Don't assume. You need to find out what you know. You need to know what you're battling. So find somebody and ask them what they need prayer for. And then you command that thing to go. You break it. Break its power. Does everybody have somebody? If you don't have somebody praying for you, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, Chris, can you pray for Barb? Oh, Sonia. Sonia's got her. Does anybody else need somebody to pray for them? those of you that need some emotional healing, I'd like you to come up to the front. Those of you who feel bound by something.
We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more.
Come on, I had a lot of you raise your hands. If you feel stuck, if you feel bound by something, something's got a grip on you, I want you to come up here. Had a lot of hands raised. This whole front should be full. Don't be shy. You want freedom tonight? Come on up. Anybody else that needs freedom from something? Feel like something's got a grip on you?